I felt we should just continue to worship God. It's like, I don't know why. I love worship. I mean, when we worship God, it's like my heart is always in the service. Praise God. I don't know. It's like we should just continue and continue to worship the Almighty God. We should dance before Him and worship Him. Probably sometimes I was looking at the scripture and I was saying, probably because my name is David. And you know in the scripture, David loved to worship God. Praise God. Hallelujah. During the announcement, I mean, during the offering, it was wonderful. I mean, since we've started the service this morning, it has been wonderful. We started with the Sunday school, I mean, the workers' meetings, it was wonderful. We started with, we went on to Sunday school. It was glorious. And in the service, we've been seeing the hand of God. I pray that the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. One thing I just want to say is this. Whenever we come to the house of God, let's be open-minded. We should not put ourselves in a cottage. We should not just put ourselves in a cage and think that this is the way we'll be doing it. Let's continue to do it that way. When we have an open-minded, I know and I believe it is at that point that the Lord will meet us at the point of our need. It's at that point that whatever we might have, whatever may be our preconceived idea, God will begin to open our eyes to see new things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today, by God's grace, is the last Sunday in the month of September. And we thank God for what God has been doing. We thank God for His Spirit in the house. God has been moving one way or the other. God has been using different people to bless us. And we want to say thank God for that. Last week, Sunday, after the service, the minister, we went to pray. And we just spent little time, but it was a good time in the presence of the Almighty God. And invariably, some of the things we pray for, this week we begin to hear news about death. I mean, like Case said during the corporate prayers, this week we've received two news. And those two news are not good news. But one thing I can assure you of is this, that for the remaining part of this year, we will not cry in Jesus' name. Yeah. I say you will not cry in Jesus' name. Yeah. While we were praying, after the prayer, somebody raised a prayer request that we should cover ourselves and members of our house and members of the church with the blood of Jesus, because so that there will be no death. And we'll be doing that. And I know the Lord will hear us and we do what He alone can do in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have little time, but I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to us today in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You so much for this moment. Thank You, Father, because today is the day that You have made. We will rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank You, King of Glory. Father, I pray that as we look into the law of liberty, we pray that Your word will set us free this morning in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that Your word will go out in a simple way, with simplicity that Your people will understand in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that You will use me as an instrument this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, at the end of today's service, our life will be transformed. Our life will be changed in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray as we end this service, You will transform us in such a way, oh Lord, that the remaining part of this year will be glorious for us in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Since the beginning of this month, we'll be looking at the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. And the first week, we look at the first chapter. The second week, we look at the second chapter. Last Sunday, we look at the third chapter. And I was thinking that probably I will go ahead and look at the fourth chapter. But behold, the fourth chapter was dealt with last Sunday. So, and unfortunately, we don't have the fifth chapter in the book of Philippians. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But indeed, it has been a wonderful time in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And during the week, I was thinking of what we'll be looking at this morning, since the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians has been dealt with. And there was something that God has been, that I'll be thinking about, and God has been speaking to me concerning that particular areas of my life. And I was thinking, and I'll be praying about it. And I was thinking probably we can look at it together this morning and see how far the Lord will help us. And this topic was as a result of one of the Bible study we went through sometimes this month. I think this month or so. Though I was not there. But while we were going home, I came late. And I asked my children and my wife what was discussed during the Bible study. And they gave me the gist of what was discussed. And as I was in the car, and God was still telling me so many things about that topic. And I was praying, asking God to really help me. And the topic we discussed at that time, like I've said, I was not in the service, was righteousness as a conscious decision. Righteousness as a conscious decision was the topic that was discussed. And so many things came to my mind. And God has been helping me, and I'm still praying. And I know that the Lord will help me and will help every one of us here today in Jesus' name. And the prayer I've been praying is that God will help me to always walk in the victory that God has already provided for me through the blood of Jesus. That has been my prayer. That Lord, if actually the things we've read in the Bible, they are true, I'll be asking God to help me to always walk in the victory that God has provided for me through Christ Jesus without struggling. The word struggling is very, very important. Without struggling. And I want to say that the topic we are considering today is for every one of us, like I've said, including me and you. As Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, like I've said, we've looked at the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 from verses 12 to 14. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Paul says something. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that I'm apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not that I've attained what I want us to discuss this morning. It is part of my prayer, my daily prayer, that God will help me. And I know that the Lord will help you as well in Jesus' name. So the topic we are considering this morning is walking in the dominion of God's victory. Walking in the dominion of God's victory. Walking in the dominion of God's victory. Many Christians are suffering from spiritual ignorance today. And this is the cause of their fulfillment in life. Hosea 4:6. The Bible says in the book of Hosea 4:6, says, my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Today, many of us as Christians, we are suffering because we are suffering from spiritual ignorance. And this is the reason why we are unable to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for our life. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The provisions are there for us as Christians. However, we must be able to tap into these provisions. God has made provisions for us to live the kind of life He wants us to live. And if you don't live that kind of life, it is not because the provisions are not there. It's just because of your level of understanding. Like we were discussing today in the Sunday school, the fact that you are not growing as a Christian is not the business of God. It's your own business. Because the provision has been there for you, that once you give your life to Christ, God has made provisions for you to grow. God has made provision for you to live a godly life. It is now for you to tap into those dominion, into that provision that God has provided for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. The Bible says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellency." Through the true knowledge of Him. And verse 4 says, "For by this He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." So, you can only attain those things that God has provided for us through the true knowledge of God. You need the true knowledge of God to be able to achieve those things. And the fact, like I've said, the fact that you are not there does not mean, it's not because God did not want you to be there. It is because you refuse to look for the knowledge that will help you to be there. We must realize that there is no mountain anywhere. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know or we may understand the things freely given to us by God." There are things that God has freely given to us. There are things that belong to us that we don't have to struggle for it. They are the things that God has freely given to us. But if you don't tap into those things, you will not blame God because they are there. It's like a student. You want to write an exam. Your teacher has taught you what you need to know. And he has given you where to go and read. And in the exam, a question comes out and you are unable to solve it. Whom do you blame? Don't worry, leave her. Whom do you blame? Whom do you blame? You blame yourself. You see, there are even some students, you tell them, go and read page 102. They will not read it. And that's where the question, where the answer to the question you've asked them, that's where the question, the answer is. But at the end of the day, whom do you blame? You blame yourself. Because that is not the plans of God. That's not the plan of your teacher for you. So we must realize that there's no mountain anywhere. Everyone's ignorance is his or a mountain. There's no mountain anywhere. Your ignorance is your mountain. If you don't know something, there's nothing anybody can do to help you. What we don't believe, we are not empowered to become. John 1:2. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Until we see and understand what belongs to us and believe that they are ours,
God is not committed to deliver them to us. If we look at the book of Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 15. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Verse 15. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. That's the word of God to Abraham. You have to see. You have to see the plans and the purpose of God for your life. You have to see what God wants to give you before you can have them. And until we see and understand what belongs to us and believe that they are ours, it will be difficult for God to deliver them into our hands. During the week, we were discussing in the office, and it's like a joke, but I got one or two lessons from that message. Somebody was sick, and he told me, he's a Muslim, he told me that he was sick, he's supposed to go for an operation. I think something, there's a problem with in his head, and they have to do the operation, and he was telling me that part of the operation they cannot do in UK, he has to go to Germany. And I was telling him that if you believe, there's nothing that God cannot do. Just believe God. God is able to do it. And he will say, oh, you know, I believe. I believe God. I know God can do. I said, believe. Just believe. He said, just believe. I said, yes, believe God. He said, you know, I am a pastor. I said, pastor from where? I said, I'm pastor in the mosque. I said, either you are pastor in the mosque or not. That is not my business. What I want you to do is believe God, that God can heal you. And he said, okay, I believe, because you have said it. I said, that's fine. And as we were discussing, another person said something. Said, he want to say, tell a story. Said, there was this man, he was praying to God. Said, God, I want to win lottery. The first week, he prayed. And nothing happened. The second week, he prayed. Nothing happened. The third week, he prayed. And nothing happened. And he was disturbing God. He said, God, I'm annoyed with you. I've been praying for lottery. I've been praying to win lottery. You have given me nothing. He said, God said, shut up. You want to win lottery? You didn't buy a ticket. Go and buy a ticket and you will see what I'm going to do. And God is able to do it. The things that God has provided for us, we are unable to see. No way you can have it. Knowing the things that God has given us to God. It will help us to evaluate. And see that our faith gets stronger and more productive. So it's therefore important for us to know the things that God has freely provided for us in Christ Jesus. This will enable us to appreciate how much God loved and valued us, including our well-being. Also, it will help us. It is important for us to receive them by faith. Number three, it is also important that we have the right attitude toward them. And number four, it is important for us to enjoy them to the full and be witness of God's goodness to our world. These four important things are the things that we should know. That there are things that God has provided for us freely. And we must receive them by faith. We must have the right attitude toward them. We must enjoy them to the full. Those things that God has provided for us, we need to enjoy them to the full. And briefly, I will summarize them. For you to be able to know, for you to be able to walk in the dominion that God has given to you, you must be able to receive those things by faith, have the right attitude toward them, and enjoy them to the full. And then you can be witness of God's goodness to our world, because people will see it in your life. Number one thing that we need to know, that God has freely given to us, that we have the right to know them and walk in them, is love. Love is very, very, very important. And I want to say clearly here that number one thing, you must love yourself before you can love others, or even before you can say you love God. You must love yourself. For you to love yourself, you must realize that God loves you and that he has given you the ability to love. The first thing God gave every one of us is unconditional love. And this is because God himself is love. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God's love toward us is beyond comprehension. The reason some people commit suicide today is because they have not realized that God loved them. You must love yourself. You must not be struggling with love. When we talk about love, love one another, love your brethren, love your sister, love your brother, many of us will still struggle with it. But this thing, I believe, should not be a thing of struggle. It should not be a thing of struggle. If we read the book of Jeremiah 31, verse 3, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the word of God says there, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God has loved you with everlasting love. And if God has done that, then there's no reason why you should not love yourself. Until you begin to see the love of God around you, it will be difficult for you to live a fulfilled life. There will be challenges, no doubt about that. Life is an adventure in challenges, and it is normal to be challenged, but it is unscriptural to be defeated. It is normal in life to face challenges. It is normal for you to face challenges, but it is unscriptural for you to be defeated. When you are defeated, it's like you have said, God cannot do anything about my problem. God cannot do anything about my challenges. So, God has given us the power to love, the ability to love, the grace to love. Loving God and other men should not be a struggle as Christians, because that is what we are called to do. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't love, the Bible is saying here that you don't even know God at all. So it should be part of you. It should be your daily food. Love should be your daily food, because God has given you the power to love. And the reason it's difficult to love God as we ought to is because we think we can do it on our own. We think we can do it on our own. We can do, I must just love, I must love, I must love. Whereas we have not been able to see the provision that God has made available for us. When you see the provision that God has made available for you, it will be easy for you to love. God has given you the ability to love. Number two, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Last week, in the workers' meeting, we talked about forgiveness a little bit. I mean, because we just have 10-15 minutes that day. We just mentioned it in briefly. And I still find that many Christians find it difficult to forgive themselves, not to talk about forgiving others. Many of us, we find it difficult to forgive ourselves, even when God has forgiven us. We find it difficult to forgive ourselves. Many of us, we still carry the guilt of what we have done 10, 12, 13 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The sin that you have confessed to God, and God said, I have forgiven you. You should know that God has forgiven you. You should believe it. You should walk in the victory that God has given you through Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. You should forgive yourself. When God says, I've forgiven you, you must forgive yourself. And you must learn how to forgive others. Romans 8:1-2 that we read this morning. Romans 8:1-2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So when you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. You should live in that victory. You should believe that God has forgiven you. You should not continue to go back into your old sins again. Because God said, I have forgiven you. And mind you, you cannot say, because God has forgiven me, then I will go back again and do what I suppose not to do. No. Because the Bible says in the book of the same Romans that we cannot continue with sin. Romans 6:1, that the grace should abound. No. As many people as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And when you have the Spirit of God inside of you, it will be easy for you to live a godly life. Number three, and that's what we've discussed the other time. We've talked about the righteousness. We've talked about righteousness. And like I've said earlier, after the Bible study, the Holy Spirit made it clear to me that righteousness living should not be a struggle. We should not struggle about how to live a righteous life. Because Christ Jesus was our righteousness. We have the righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit further says, see the provisions that God has made available to you rather than looking at the mountain you need to climb to live a righteous life. Many of us, we are struggling. I want to live a holy life. I want to live a holy life. And in doing that, we continue to sin more and more and more and more because we think we can do it by our own power. We need to know that the provision is there for us. And this morning, as we were praying after praying in the morning, and I was looking at something, and the Holy Spirit tells me, I'm not so sure whether it was true, and I asked my wife, said, righteousness is a gift. It's like that's the first time I will see it. And I was looking for the scripture, and I found it in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one's man offense death reign, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. I mean, when we say it's a gift, we are not talking about those spiritual gifts in the Bible. No, that's not what we are saying. But it's a gift that has been given to us by God. We must see that provision that I can live a righteous life. Jesus said, be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. If we see it as that God has made this provision for me, there's no reason why I should struggle for it. Then you will be able to live a righteous life. Righteousness in the kingdom is not by our works, but through the grace of God that is made available for us. Romans 9:16. I will repeat that statement again. Righteousness in the kingdom is not by our works, but through the grace of God that is made available for us. Romans 9:16 says, so then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sweareth mercy. And if we go to verse 18 of Romans 9, okay? Says, therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. But what we are saying is this, everything we have today is by the grace of God. And for us to live a righteous life, we need the help of God. And the help of God is already available for us. What we need to do is just to tap into it. Wake up in the morning and tell God, God, I'm going out today. I believe you. I know I'm not going to fall because I know you are my righteousness. When you wake up in the morning, say to yourself that I'm going today to live a life of righteousness that has been given to me through Christ Jesus. Today, I will live above sin because I have the seed of God inside of me, according to 1 John 3:6-9, that says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That's what the scripture says. Because you have the seed of God inside of you. You have the seed of God inside of you. And so, you should go out with the righteousness of God. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we don't have to be struggling. We don't have to be struggling on how to live a righteous life. The provision has already been made by God for us. On Wednesday, we were talking about, when I came, I was late already. And then we were talking about how to do business with unbeliever. I will not say Muslim now, with unbelievers. That was our discussion, and unfortunately, I was unable to stay for a longer period before I left. But one thing I know is this, that if we see ourselves and we see the provision that God has made available for us, it is possible for us to live a life without sin. Because God is able to help us. And struggling, it will be difficult for us to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The other things we need to know as well that God has made available for us is prosperity. Prosperity. In those days when you were still younger than this, I always believe that as Christian, you can be rich, which I believe, but, well, to some extent. But as I begin to grow in the Lord, God begin to open my eyes to see so many things. And I realize also that it is the desire of God for us to live abundance and prosperity life. And God has provision for us to live an abundance life. The moment we understand these principles, or the principle associated with prosperity, we shall continue to walk in the prosperity that God has provided for us. So, the provision is there for us. It is left for us to walk in the prosperity that God has provided for us. What are the principle of giving and paying your tithes? Don't cheat others, whether individual, government, there should be no fraud, and so on and so forth. Once we understand this principle, God is committed to prosper us, because he said, I take pleasure in the prosperity of my people. Because I always wonder, why will some people have money? Of recent, I was just reading Living Faith, Winner Chapel. They said each year they give about 174 million as scholarship to people, to members of their church. And I was thinking, God, where do they get this money? Where do they get this money? So, what am I saying? And when you read the story of some of the things that Oyedepo said, Bishop Oyedepo, what he said is that he was able to tap into the provision that God has made available. That he doesn't care what anybody says. What he knows is that he's working with the principle of God. With the principle that God has laid down. And what I just want to encourage us this morning is this. that let's tap into the things that are written in the Bible, that are clearly written in the Bible. Let's tap into them. Let's ask God, why are we not there? It's not the plans of God that you should live in poverty. What of healing? 1 Peter 1:24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Exodus 23:25 says, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. These are the promises of God for us to claim. These are the provisions that God has made for us. It is for us to know that these things are available for us. That's my emphasis this morning. It's for us to know that these things are available for us. We don't have to struggle to get these things. And it has been my prayer, and I'm still praying that God will help me to walk in the dominion, the victory that he has already fought on my behalf on the cross of Calvary, the victory that Jesus fought for me. What of authority over the devil? That's another point. Authority over the devil. Mark 16:17-18. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on sick, and they shall recover. These are the provisions that are available for us. The fact that it's not happening in our life, like I've said before, is not because God is not committed to do it. It's because we are unable to realize that those provisions are there. Like last Sunday, I was sharing with my brother. I said, whenever I see somebody sick, something inside me is always bubbling. It's like I'm annoyed with myself. Why would somebody be sick where I am? Whereas the Bible says he has given me power. It should not be. Why would somebody be sick where I am? The other time my wife was saying she had a headache. I say, why you had a headache where I am? I'm the husband in this house and you are having a headache. It is a shame on me. Because God said he has given me power to heal all manner of sickness. That's what God said. The fact that it's not happening is not because God has not said it. It's not because God is not committed to it. It's because we've not been able to walk in the provision that God has made available for us. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I gave unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Many of us, we are afraid of the enemies around us. Many of us, we were discussing during the week, and they said, oh, I'm not going to my village. I said, why will you not go to your village? It's because, he said, what will I go and do there? There are people there that are looking for me. As Christian, why would there be fear for you to go to your village? The last time I went to my village. I went through all the village. I was even trekking. My sister was saying, don't go there. I said, what will happen? Nothing will happen to me. Because I am a carrier of God. God is living inside of me. Nobody can do me. I mean, nothing. I've come to that knowledge. Because, when we were small, in our village, there are powers. When I say there are powers. And we've lived there. And me, they know us. So if I die today, it's not because one enemy has killed me. It's because God says it is my time to go. But I know I will not die young. Because that's what the Bible says. And you will not die young in Jesus' name. The day of your life you will fulfill in the mighty name of Jesus. God has given us all the authorities and power. We need to subdue the devil. All of us know this very well. But how much of this power and authorities have you been using to live and enjoy life in abundance? Many of us, because of what evil ones we do, we are unable to enjoy even what God has given to us. Many of us, we cannot even wear good clothes, we cannot eat good food because we will be thinking, oh, if I buy that car, that enemy will see me and they will put their eyes on me and they may strike. No enemy can strike you. You are in Christ Jesus. And because you are in Christ Jesus, you are more than conqueror. Through Christ Jesus that is living inside of you. Praise the Lord. Today, I want you to begin to walk in the abundance of the thing that God has provided for us. Those things that he has made available for us. Those things that he has given us freely. Begin to understand that these things are there for us to walk in. I mean, that these things are there for us so that we can enjoy them. God has not created them and put them in one corner for some set of people. No. It's for every one of us. You see some people in first class, while I was coming the other time from Nigeria, I was in the economy class. I think economy class is the last class there. Praise God. Where you have four people on this row. In the center, three people on this row. In the center, you have four people. The other side, you have three people. Abi? Okay. But while I was coming in, I saw one area is like a bed. You have your own bed. It's like you have your own corner. And moving from that, you get to another stage again, where it's not like the first one. And I was thinking, there are people that are staying inside this, the first one. One day, I will stay there. I'm saying one day I'm going to stay there in the name of Jesus. Those people, they don't have two heads. They've gotten one head like I've got. Some of them, I know them. I've seen them before. Some of them, I know them when they were even trekking, that they cannot even afford anything. But today, God has really blessed them. We need to begin to know what God has freely given to us. And we need to begin to walk through these things. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. All what we need is to trust in God, is to believe him, is to trust him and to know that God is able to do it. You can rely on this God because he is your tower that never crumbles. This God is your light that never fades away. Is your hidden place that never closes. This God is your seed that has no flaws or weaknesses. This God is your guide who will never get lost on the rain. This God is your guardian who doesn't take naps or sleep. This God is your ocean of love that never has a low tide. And this God is your provider who will always provide for your needs. This God is your physician who is going to heal all your diseases. This God, we can trust in him because he's our creator who knew what he was doing when he created you. This God is our father who is not too busy to be with his child. This God is our shepherd who is able to provide for all our needs. If you trust in this God is able to do mighty things. Shall we stand up? And I want us to trust in him, trust in his word, trust in what he has said. And we are going to sing this song. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. Why the choir will help me? The choir will help me. It is sweet to trust in Jesus, to believe in his word. I want us to take it prayerfully. Say, it is sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, how I trust in him. How I have proved him over and over. Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust in him. What we need is grace to trust him. Like I've said, this point, don't think that Brother David said is there. No, I'm not there at all. I am praying. And I know that God will help me to be there. God will help me to live a prosperous life. God will help me to live a life above sickness. God will help me to continue to live a life of holiness, right life of righteousness. God will help me to live a life of love. That is my prayer. And I will continue to pray until I get there. And this will be our prayer this morning. Let's take this song prayerfully. Choir, please help me. To trust in
Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same. precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it seems to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace.
Jesus, 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 how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in Him. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I love Him, how I prove Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's take the cross again.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
Just in your